like 7-8 years ago, we found some issues when I get job at the University of Minnesota, and then compared to folks from University of Florida, which is complete opposite. We have very short growing season, so that's when we talk about what we have been doing in recent years about tomato breeding. So it's just give a little bit outline. So first, we face the challenges at the northern part, our short growing season, and about tomato. And then second, I take some approaches to breed novel tomato trees. We get mainly we focus on dwarf short growing seasons and high year, also the tasty tomatoes. So that's and the third one, we're just going to introduce three new tomato varieties. We think it's valuable to distribute to the future growers. So that's so why tomatoes? So the tomatoes basically is the world's second largest vegetables. That's what most of us are familiar with. You know, everyone consumes about like 80 pounds tomatoes a year. So if you're not reach the number, you need to eat more tomatoes. Okay. So tomatoes are also a rich source for vitamins and antioxidants valuable to human health. And then it's one of the top three most popular garden plants and also the field crop. Right now we have our 7,000 varieties available, but most of them they're not able to grow very well in the northern part. So that's if you see what the challenges we have, we're so happy to grow one of the cultivars from University of Florida, but we have no one get red and then it's frozen comes in. So that's the issue we have in Minnesota. And it's the short growing season we face. And also, you think we grow a very short season, we grow tomatoes, but we have to stick a cage and take a lot of labor there, but eventually we only get a few green tomatoes. That's what's another thing we face. So here, we're trying to see whether or not get some just the short season tomatoes, dwarf ones, and without a cage. That's what the objective is what we have. So as you see here, well, first we want to look for some dwarf ones, and then short season, high yield. It just and also no GMO. So we're not doing the molecular breeding. So I use the transgenic plants. So everything we've done. So basically just a chromosome rearrangement or just traditional breeding. And then, so we also look for the great flavor for the tomatoes. And that's where we start. So there are three steps. We basically, this is a long-term project. So we basically start with the selection for the economically valuable trees, and then we're going to move it to a second to create stable aneuploid trees. We want to get the additional chromosomes of all different aneuploid trees. And then the third step is just generate hybrids with all others, like what's disease resistant and all that, so that kind of hybrid. So today, just the first step. So we did a cross. We predict whether or not this can generate a large population of varieties. So we cross two cultivars. So one is Zekhart, which is one of the one we screened recently, and that's about 5-6 years already. And another is just a common microtome. So we expected to have all different kind of varieties. So if you don't be laughing, we have just one cross, we get almost all kind of tomatoes. You can see morphology and colors, all kind of. So it's over 200 different kind of varieties can generate from the one cross. So if you see the F1 generations look normal, like it was a pointer, and then we only start to select for first 16 lines and focus them. So after like 7 generations screen, so we indeed found and Reynolds at least three trees, varieties you can see. They're dwarf, very short, and then high yield. So basically each, if you grow those in your farm, it pretty much can go up to 30 tons per acre or so. And then that's all we get. And short, very short growing season is 46 weeks shorter than the normal tomatoes. That's what before I come here, we have already harvested our tomatoes in Minnesota. So it's, you can see the season is short. And also potential for machine harvesting and for large farm. In the marketing, we're also looking at different products like you can grow or use or different ways. So that there's three of them I want to introduce today. Just we have no name. If you have name suggestion, that'd be really appreciated. So we just use the Minnesota tomato cross lines. They're 97. So this one you see here, it's, when it's young, it's half green, half white, the bottom's white. So it's very high yield. And then if you could hear this, once it's mature, it's looking really good. So it's the size is not that big size, it's bigger than the regular cherry. And then most likely smaller than plum. And then this one you can see it's in a large field, like in a large farm tree, so you can see that. The fruits are juicy, it's sweeter than Roma, but it's not that sweet. It's just like a little bit sweeter than normal tomato. And then the yield that you can see, here is the one, this farm with it's almost 100% sandy soil farm. So we get the irrigation there. So this farm, each plant you can see, average you grew that, is about an average 103 fruit. And then it's about each one produced 1,576 grams, it's over 3 pounds of tomatoes. And each tomato average is 15 grams per. And if you look at that, most of these are fruits, basically. If the fresh material, over 8% of the biomass of the tomato fruit, only 20% are other part, like roots, leaves, and stems. That's what we're looking at. And then if you see how short a season can be, so you see, here is the convention tomatoes. This is a big field, convention tomatoes. And this is the one we basically transplanted about 2 weeks behind this. And then you see here, ours, like say here, about after 6 weeks, it's all ready to harvest. And then this is the 10 days younger than this, and then it's at starting with seeds. So a goal is we can start with seeds, grow tomatoes in Minnesota, just to plant seeds. And then here you see on again this line. So if you keep in the field and after like 6 weeks of maturity, it's going to be too late, kind of a little bit overripe. So that's what you see here. This line 10 days later, and then it's another 10 days. So it's basically, you see how in Minnesota you can get full ripe whole plants all harvested at the season, early season. So very, very, very short growing season. And that's how you look at about the, in the field, how the yield. So you pretty much all the tomatoes you get, basically you can see your land covered with 2 to 4 inches tomatoes all over your farm. So this is the first one. The second one we're looking at is the pretty close to the first one, but it's a little bit different. It's key, when the young, it's white. All the white, the fruit are white. And then you continue, and those are also very, the fruits, average plants produce fruits a little bit less, but if you see here, but bigger fruits. So this is the number, see, on average, but 49 fruits per plant, but it's also produced over 1,000 grams, so that's it. And each one is a little bit bigger, 20.6 grams of the fruit, each fruit. And this is also, as you can see, a little bit sweeter, about 3 to 5 days longer growing season compared to the 97. This one, of course, is a bit longer. So all the rest, similar, all the season is very short. So So both of these can be kind of a honey tomatoes. If you collect them 6 to 8 weeks, that's like an Italian one. It's a very famous one. It's called the Pianano. So you honey it for a few weeks, and then much more sweeter. You can do the spaghetti or other juices, and then there's no problem. So this is those are ones we harvest before I come here. These new ones I just harvest, and then we come before I come here. We grew from Minnesota. It's in the field. So that's the first two. So you're looking at all the potential market, because you can regular food, or you can stir fried, and then juicy, and then there's not one thing we're looking at, maybe for horticulture, kind of like a floral arrangement. You can put there and then just put, and then you want to get the fresh tomatoes, you just get a few tomatoes, that's it. So put in the salad, that's how you can look at it. So juice, everything, you can use this tomato. And the third one, you may say, oh, this is not much interest, but this one is very interesting to us, because when we get this one, you see the third line, it's perfectly red color, and then it's like an 8. So the tomatoes morphology look like number 8. So number 8, it's many Asian countries, it's a lucky number. Okay? It's a lucky number. So that's why we use this, and you see here, this tomato at the middle part is a ring structure. It's not that you tie it, it's just it's a ring structure there. So when you get it, and it's very sweet. It's double sweet compared to the first few lines. So it's about the brick sweet 7.5. So it's not as sweet as grape, but it's compared to other tomatoes, it's a very sweet tomato. So we call this the Fortune 8, because it all looks like an 8. So it's Fortune 8. This one we have a name. And then from this line we also select another variation. It's like, it's a pointer. So we call this Fortune Tour, because it looks like a tour shape. So it's very, very interesting, and also very sweet. It's about 7.8%. And brick street. So we look at why they form the kind of the neck structure in between. So if you look at the floral structure, so this is just like a macadam or other tomatoes. So you look like this, the floral, and the outer development is like this. But this 137, the petals and the sticks and the anthers, they basically fuse together and form a structure very strongly hold this ovule. When the ovule develop and it's still harvest, we know that tomatoes, many of them is not self-pollination, but this, if we say, okay, in the greenhouse we have the poor pollination, we need to have bumblebees or this thing. But this one, you don't need any of this, because they just put anther hold together with the stigma. So you have to be pollinated in order to keep growing. So that's after they pollinated and still stick on the ovule, so on the young fruit. That's how we look at this. And then if you look at the floral development, basically tomatoes supposed to be like this. This is what they call the ovule superior type tomato. But the floral is kind of like heterogeneous. But in this case, it's the floral is the paragenous, basically floral structure. It's hard on the ovule, so that's how it looks like. It's make it a unique shape. And that's, we hope this way it's going to be interesting in the Asian market. So it looks like something fortune. If you give a gift to in the like a holiday, everyone will say, okay, like maybe $200. Right now it's just £1 of our tomato. So it's just fortune. Okay. So that's how they grow here. So that's just the first three. So we have like a number of others. So that's basically the we're looking at so far. It's a very short season we got, and then the future we're going to test the growing of those, and then we need a name, and then we want to test the nutrition evaluation, and then we use this as a starting material to bring for the stable annual pea and seed stock in the future. So I also test hybrid. I have already get about 12 lines from University of Florida from Dr. Scott. So some may not, it's all from you. So that, and some other lines. So you include these lines, the new one, when it's young, it's like a bigger plume, but it's white. It's pure white. So it has horticultural properties. You can grow in the pot. It's really beautiful. So those, the people who over years work with me, many of my students who work with me, so, and take a long time to get this step here. And I appreciate that the Minnesota Agriculture Experimental Station funds to support this research in the breeding, and also some other funding, and the farm also support this research. Thank you. Hopefully, I can get some questions. Yes, Chef.
How late can you plant for short season? Could it be planted after a crop of peas or winter wheat?
Okay. So Charles' question is, how late can you plant this plant? We did try, so as you see, at the end of June, we started direct seeding. It's still, we can harvest at September. So if you transplant it, I assume you have no problem to transplant at the end of July. So which means the first crop will be harvested already, so then going to be the second crop. Yeah, so that's okay, yes.
I'm wondering if you convene consumers to look at the phenotypes when you do a crop, can you come up with all the different phenotypes if you get consumer preference information, and if so, how you go about doing that for phenotypes that you're going to go for, and then also
so right now we have not, basically initially we start just to find the special tree. We start to move this to the local farms, so they're going to do the further analysis. And some we distribute seeds, right now the university is okay for distributing seeds to certain large seed distributors like H&M Close, but many we have just evaluate the nutrient everything and by our own in the lab. Yeah, thank you. Sorry.